Today's message is called A Tale of Two Goats. Nobody likes A Tale of Two Goats. Not two goat tales. A Tale of Two Goats. And one of the plans that God had from the very beginning, his whole thing is he wants to have a relationship with us. Now, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but what does he have to do to have that relationship with us, to have that one-on-one in order to walk with us? There were some changes that had to take place. He had to give us forgiveness in order for us to have reconciliation with God, to get back together with God. God's plan from the very beginning was always for us to be one with Him. But once we separated ourselves, He had to make certain things, He had to make certain things happen. Now, forgiveness was just one of them. And forgiveness in and of itself wasn't enough. He had to remove all of that stuff from us, meaning all the mistakes that we made, all of the shortcomings that we had. Not only did He forgive us for them, He had to remove them from us totally and completely. Now, the tale of two goats tells me, or will tell you, a little deeper about how this takes place. We have to go back to fall. If you think of the fall, there's a feast that takes place in the Jewish tradition called Yom Kippur. Has anybody ever celebrated that? Yeah. Has anybody ever heard of that before? Yeah, everybody's heard of that before. Yom Kippur. And it is called the Day of Atonement. And now some interesting things take place on the Day of Atonement, which reveal to us the plan of God and what God had to do to open the way for us to be reconciled with Him, in order to get back with Him, get in His good graces, and continue on the journey and the plan of God, that we would now have a relationship with God and that we would walk with God. And the you have to remember that Yom Kippur is an extremely, the highest holiday of the year, the most important holiday, Jewish holiday. And it speaks also to Easter, which is coming up next week. And I'm going to connect these two, because even though Yom Kippur happens in the fall in the Jewish tradition and Easter happens in the spring in the Christian tradition, these are not separate. These are actually one and the same. The Day of Atonement, was foretelling of what would take place in the day of resurrection and reconciliation, when we actually are brought back with God. Now, the Day of Atonement, it starts out with the Feast of the Trumpets. And what they're doing through these 10 days is they're looking and examining themselves. Have I released everything that I need to forgive, be forgiven for? Examining their life and seeing, am I in a good state, you know, to come to God? And so through this time, it's really focused on that, focused on examination and getting ready for the Day of Atonement. When the Day of Atonement comes, what's interesting is I want to focus on one particular aspect of it, the two goats. And throughout the rest of the year, what is happening, and we've got to think about the sanctuary. Now, in the ancient times, what it was, the sanctuary was a tent when Moses first started, the tabernacle, which was a tent that they packed up and they carried around the wilderness. And the 40 years that they're marching around out there in the wilderness, they're setting up this tabernacle, and God has given them specific instructions of what to do. Now, on a regular daily basis, people could come to the tabernacle. The priest was Aaron, which was Moses' brother. He could come to the tabernacle and he could receive forgiveness for whatever he had done. And there were rules of what you would bring in order to receive the forgiveness. Sometimes it was a grain offering, sometimes it was a pigeon, sometimes it was a bull or a lamb or a goat. I mean, there were all kinds of different things, depending on what you needed forgiveness for. And what the normal way of doing it is, when you would bring an animal, you would put your hands onto the animal. The one that had committed the sin or the mistake, had kind of fallen short, now lays his hands on the animal, and it's now transferred to the animal. In other words, the animal takes on the responsibility or picks up all of the mistakes. And then the animal is sacrificed. And when the animal is sacrificed, the blood is brought into the sanctuary and sprinkled in the sanctuary. And it's done in a very particular way. 7 times it's sprinkled in a couple of different areas in the sanctuary. So throughout the year, what's actually taking place is the sin of a person is being transferred from them into the sacrifice. From the sacrifice, it's being transferred into the sanctuary. Because a lot of times people think, oh, once it was transferred into the animal and we did the sacrifice, everything is good. There's no more sin. And in fact, actually what was happening was the sins were being transferred, and the mistakes and all the shortcomings and all that stuff was being transferred into the sanctuary. And throughout the year, imagine, for the entire year, it's building up in there. And what it's really saying is it's saying that God is taking this stuff upon himself, because the sanctuary represents God. The presence of God is in the sanctuary. The presence of God behind the veil is the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat. And the very presence of God, they say, would be like a great light or flame that would be there, a cloud. And this was the presence of God. And nobody could go behind the veil. Nobody went behind the veil because God's presence was there. And it was so bright and so incredible. And this is one of the things, is that we had to release all the falsities and mistakes in order for us to come back into the presence of God. Because God is so brilliant and so perfect, and he's so light and he's so radiant, and so much power is going out from him, that if something of imperfection that had made mistakes and had shortcomings comes into the presence of perfection, it would be destroyed totally and completely. And that's why in the sanctuary they have this veil that is protecting them. And nobody goes behind that veil. They're protected from the presence of God because they're not perfect. But God's will is for us to be reconciled and brought back together with him so that we can be one with him, not be separate. So, on the Day of Atonement, well, throughout the rest of the week, the rest of the year still, the sins are going into and being put into this sanctuary, which is representing God. So God is taking the sins onto himself. Now, not only is the sanctuary being filled with the sins and the mistakes, also the priests are taking them upon themselves. The priests are taking them upon themselves. And this happens through the eating of the burnt offering. So the priests were required to, by the rules that they had laid out, that they would eat some of that burnt offering. And that meant between the blood that's sprinkled in the sanctuary, some of the mistakes are sprinkled into the sanctuary, but some of them are received by the priest through the eating of it. Because the person itself has been cleansed by laying their hands upon the sacrifice, and the sacrifice receives it, and then the sacrifice is sacrificed, and now it's transferred into the sanctuary. Throughout the entire year. Now imagine, if the entire tribe of Israel, every day, daily, whatever mistakes they made, they could come to the priest and it can be transferred into the sanctuary. In other words, lifted from them. And remember what I said last week. Go back to what I said last week. We can't thrive and be what God created us to be if we're filled with guilt and fear and worry. And when we have mistakes hanging over our head, we keep thinking that we've done something wrong and we're not good enough. If we're thinking that we're not good enough and we've made mistakes, how can we come into that presence of God that's so brilliant? And that's why when he gives us forgiveness, it releases us from the guilt, from the fears, from the worries, from the inadequacies, from not being good enough. He takes that from us and he transfers it upon himself in the sanctuary. Why? So we can be free to begin to live the way that God created us to live. Say amen to that.
Amen.
He wants us to live the way he created us to live. So he takes this off of us. The Day of Atonement now comes once a year. All of those sins and those iniquities and those mistakes are in the sanctuary. They've been building up all year. The Day of Atonement is about cleansing the sanctuary, about bringing that stuff out of there. In other words, it now is going to get transferred out. And so, we have something that takes place. Now, first there's a sacrifice of a bull in the traditional manner, and they sprinkle the blood into the sanctuary. But I want to focus on the two goats, because I promised you a tale of two goats. They bring these two goats. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen goats, but what I've noticed about goats, and we didn't have any goats on the farm when I was growing up, but we had some neighbors that had some sheep and some goats, and what I would always notice is there was a very high likelihood that they would have two goats, like twins. You know, sometimes they'd have one, but often they had two. And I mention that because one of the things it talks about in the scripture, it talks about how they have to bring these two identical goats. These two goats are exactly the same. They bring them for the priest, and then they choose one of them. They choose one of them to be the sacrifice, and it's chosen by lot. In other words, it's chosen by chance. It's not just you look at him and say, well, he's got kind of a funny look, we'll take him. You know, it's done by lot. They choose one of the goats, and he becomes the sacrificial goat that now is going to cleanse the sanctuary and cleanse the priests. Because all year the priests have been building up this stuff from the people. They've been taking it upon themselves. And now that's done, and then it's sprinkled seven times. It's sprinkled inside the sanctuary, the blood. And then the second goat. Now, what happens with the second goat is interesting. They don't sacrifice this goat. They lay their hands upon it. And they proclaim all of the sins, the iniquities, the mistakes, the shortcomings of the entire of all the people. They proclaim that upon this goat. And then they send him into the wilderness. They send him out of the camp. And he is to wander in the wilderness and to never come back. In other words, he takes this upon himself and he takes it away from them. Because, see, forgiveness is not enough. To receive forgiveness as God is one thing, but God doesn't, he also wants it to be taken away from us completely. So there's no remnant of it. There's no history of it. There's nothing to be able to bring it back that we won't repeat it again. It's been taken away. And the second goat does that. He goes out to the wilderness and releases all of this stuff from the entire tribe. It is taken away. Now, what does this have to do with Easter? Is probably what you're wondering. Or can you already see what it represents? I want to read to you a verse here in John chapter 1, verse 29. This is John the Baptist speaking. John the Baptist sees Jesus walking and he says, this is the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the same representation. See, we have to take a look at what Paul says, the Apostle Paul, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Listen to what he says here. Now, he's talking about the Day of Atonement, the most important feast in the Jewish calendar, the most important event, because it's the cleansing of the sanctuary and it's the taking away of all the people. All that stuff that was on them is being taken out of the camp so it won't affect them anymore. That's why it's so important. And on that day, so he's referring to that. Now here's what he says. "For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of things." So he's saying that was a representation. It's not the actual event yet. It is a foretelling of the event that will come. Throughout the entire scripture, from the cover to cover, from the very beginning, it talks about Jesus and it talks about his coming even before they know his name, hundreds of years before they talk about him. And all of these rituals and traditions were all foretelling of his coming. Same with this Day of Atonement. And so it talks about, it's not the very image, it's foretelling that something, it's going to happen though. So, and not the very image of the things can never with these same sacrifices which they have offered continually year after year, because they're doing this year after year, make those who approach perfect. You can't be made perfect through this ritual that happens year after year. It's representing something greater so that people will remember and be reminded of what God wants to do. What does God want to do? He wants to have reconciliation with the people. And he wants to free them from the iniquities and the sins and the mistakes. It doesn't matter what you've done. I'll tell you, years ago, I worked with a man who was a mercenary. You know what a mercenary is? He's a hired gun. And he goes into different countries. And he was hired to kill people. And he did this for many years. And when I met him, he was an older man now, and he was sick and he wasn't well. And we were talking about God, and he wanted to believe in God, but he was afraid that how could God forgive him? Because if he knew all the things that he had done, God couldn't have forgiveness for him, was his thinking. But the truth is, it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter whether we were somebody who was trying to be good, which doesn't matter how good we try to be, we're always going to make mistakes. And it doesn't matter whether we were bad and we made really bad mistakes. It doesn't matter whether we felt like we were strong and we did pretty good, you still made mistakes, or you were weak and you kept falling down every time you turned around. God's forgiveness is for everybody, and it's to release us and free us so that we can have what the plan of God said from the very beginning. We can have reconciliation. We can be one with God so we can have that relationship with him. Because the relationship with God is what's going to change our lives and what's going to change the world. It's what's going to make us feel better. God knows that because God created us that way. We can't live without God. Say amen to that. Amen. You can't live without God. And this is something that people don't always understand. But you really can't have a life, you can't live without God. So everybody is forgiven. Doesn't matter who they are. Now, let's go back to what Paul was saying. So it won't make you perfect, this ritual, doing it year after year. For then would they have not ceased to be offered. So if it had made them perfect, they would have ceased making the offer. They would have been perfected. Why do it again? You don't have to do it again if you've been perfected. If I'm perfect, right? Why would I have to go through this whole atonement again? I wouldn't. I would be perfect. So he's saying it doesn't make them perfect. For the worshipers once purified would have no more conscience of sin. Now this is interesting because what he's getting at here is that in the true cleansing, you're not even going to have a conscience of what was wrong. It's going to pull it out of you completely and totally. Meaning you're not going to be thinking or worrying about what you did yesterday anymore. You're cleansed from it. You're healed from it. Now in verse 3 it says, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. Every year they remembered, oh, I got to atone. I got to atone again. So they weren't totally perfected and cleansed from it. Although that's the intention and that's the plan of God, it just is not happening here. It's not happening now. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. It's not possible. We need something stronger. We need something greater. This is the plan of God. Now, God's plan was to show us, he reveals his plan in the Day of Atonement, in the Jewish tradition. He reveals to us, this is what we're going to do. guys, I'm going to take these mistakes off of you. Not only am I going to take them off of you, I'm going to send them out of your very midst so they're not in your camp. They're not in your conscience. Your conscience, they're not in your heart anymore. They're completely taken away so that it's not going to affect you. In other words, you're going to be free from it. And that means no fear, no guilt, no worry. And you can enter that state of peace that God needs you to be in. Because if you get to the state of peace and perfection, now you can come into the presence of God. On the Day of Atonement, I said nobody could go behind the veil in the sanctuary. But on the Day of Atonement, as they had killed that first goat, the high priest could then, well, he had this incense in his hand, this incense burner. When it got smoky enough in that room that was behind the veil where the Ark of the Covenant was, he could enter into that room. Obviously, it had to get smoky enough in order for that to protect him from the presence of God, because God is so bright, he is so brilliant, that the power would have overpowered him. But on this day, because it's the most holiest day, and everybody has been purified and cleansed, the high priest could go back there and face God. He could now, it's talking about reconciliation. You could now face God at that moment in time. It's the same plan that God has. Now, we're saying the blood of bulls and goats, though, can't take it away. It had to be God that took it away. But for God to do that, he had to come down and walk on the earth as a man. And that's what Jesus is all about. God comes down and walks in this body as Jesus. As it's said in John, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's his job. That's his mission. That's why he's come. God has come upon the earth in order to free us the same way this Day of Atonement. So he is the Lamb now. He is the first goat. And he takes all those sins. In other words, when we call upon God and say, God, Jesus, I receive you into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Cleanse me of all the mistakes I've made, all the things I've failed at. He takes that stuff upon himself. There is a trading places moment that takes place where Jesus takes all that stuff upon himself, he takes it off of you, and he gives you his righteousness. You are made pure, clean. You are made righteous at that moment. Goats and bulls couldn't do it, but God can do it, and the blood of God can do it. And that's what's taking place there. And then, not only does he take it from us, he had to go outside of the city. And if you think about that story, when they crucified him, they had him leave the city. He carried that cross. He went out of the city and he went up onto the mound where they now crucified him. It happened outside the city. Why was that? Because he was taking away from us, like the second goat, which he also represents. He was taking it out of our very midst. Meaning that mistakes and iniquities and shortcomings and falsities were removed from us totally and completely, so that we didn't have a conscious awareness of it, so it wasn't called back to our memory, so we didn't have to worry about it, because that way we would be free from the guilt and the worry and thinking about, I need to be cleansed again. He takes it outside the city. And that's where it dies. Because remember, the goat they send into the wilderness, and I didn't mention this, that second goat that goes into the wilderness, he dies out there. In other words, and this is something we've got to remember about, we're being reborn. And when we're being reborn into the perfection of God. Now all the goodness of God can come upon us. But something has to die. The old ways die in the wilderness. And that's what the second goat is representing. The same thing. Jesus dies outside of the city. The city is representing our church, representing our, meaning our hearts and our lives and who we are. Jesus has taken it out of our very midst. It can't affect us. Has no power over us. We have received full and complete forgiveness. Meaning that now we can re-enter the presence of God. No matter how light he is, we can go behind the veil. Remember what happened when Jesus was on the cross. There was an earthquake. The sun was blotted out. And then the veil in the temple ripped in half at that very moment that he gave up his spirit. In other words, when that ripped in half, it symbolized we're no longer separated from God. We have been reconciled. We are one with God again. Say amen to that. Amen.